WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Happy Tuesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. And even though the sky is cloudy, the sun is peeking out behind it, trying to shine right in my face. And I didn't get up and pull down the blinds because I didn't think the sun was coming out. But it's trying. And we've got a brand new day here for you on the program. And I hope that yesterday went well for you. I hope that you dodged some raindrops and were able to get done what you had to do. Today, we're going to be joined in the 8 o'clock hour by Katie Green of the One South Coast Chamber to talk about the upcoming Johnny Damon Celebrity Scholarship Dinner. Johnny Damon is coming to the Venus de Milo, and you have a chance to meet him and get an autograph and talk with him about the idiots. And, maybe you want to talk to him about Oakland or New York or whatever else. But we've got Katie coming in after the 8 o'clock news to discuss, and just another sports related programming note. Next Thursday, we're going to be joined by former Patriots offensive lineman Joe Andruzzi. He has a couple of events coming up for his foundation, and we're going to have Joe join us and talk about those. It's funny because when they reached out and said, you know, Joe would be interested in coming on, I said, well, it's been 2 years since we had him on. In fact, he was on one of my very first shows when I went on at 9 a.m. And it was the photo that I took with him that made me realize that I needed to do something for weight loss. Because when I took a picture with him, I was like, man, I'm bigger than a former NFL offensive lineman. And I remember Joe during his playing days covering him and being in the locker room, and you know, he was a big beefy guy. I mean, he's obviously lost weight since he was playing, but still I was like, man, I've got to do something about this. So I was almost like, hey, can Joe come into the studio? Would that be possible? I need to take another photo and put them side by side. But he'll be joining us by phone next Thursday to talk about a couple of great upcoming events that you can take part in. One thing that you can also take part in, although it's hit or miss, is South Coast Rail. There was a series of questions, 15 questions, that was sent by Senator Mark Montigny and his committee to Philip Eng, who is the head of the MBTA, to get answers about what's been going on. And I'm going to go through those through the course of the morning, and we can discuss those amongst other things as well, but we'll go through those and discuss, because the sad thing about this is it's like just on the cusp of providing adequate service so that, you know, that's why we're experiencing these issues, is because they're just on the cusp of being able to provide adequate service. So it's like, even though they finally gave us South Coast Rail, they're still doing the bare minimum to ensure that it can continue operations. Only having, you know, a small number of people qualified to run that route. And I still think, and I don't think this is one of the 15 questions, not when I read over them yesterday, but I'll double check. I still think that the early launch kind of caught Keolis off guard, that they thought that if, you know, they'd gone with a May launch, like I forget what the original date was, or if there even was a original date, for May. But we might not already have South Coast Rail service, and they'd still be training people. They expect to have, I think, 65 trained people by next month. I think you would have been in better shape if you launched, say, you know, mid-May. But instead, they moved it up to early March, and I think that might have been part of what led to some of these issues. But as they went through and answered the reasons why, you know, you look and you see things like people on vacation, people who were sick. Now, those things are going to happen. You're going to get vacations that are scheduled, but also it's not like vacations are a surprise either. You've got time to schedule those. At least you should if the person put in the time correctly. But then there's a lot of PFML, which is paid family medical leave. And when I see how many of those there are, I'm wondering how many of those are just people who are, you know, for whatever reason, these conductors and engineers are protesting the South Coast Rail route. Now, a couple of trains on the same day. They were canceled for what's listed on the list as trespasser on the tracks. And if you remember, we talked about this. I believe this was the first weekend that they had the issues. Well, the first weekend that there was service. Reportedly, that was from someone who had taken their own life on the train tracks. I guess jumped in front of a train or something along those lines. And that shut down a portion of the route for a significant amount of time during the, you know, investigation, removal of the person and all of that. So obviously things like that are going to happen, are going to occur, unfortunately. And there's not much you can do to blame Keolis for that. But you can start to wonder, like, why are all these people taking paid family and medical leave time? Because that's listed differently than sick. You would think that paid family medical leave time would be something that is asked for in advance. I mean, what are we talking about? Did all of a sudden, you know, 20 people go into labor and the new mothers and new fathers had to take time off for that? I mean, this is paid family medical leave is usually something that you have a bit of a heads up on. Even if it's a day or two, someone says, hey, just so you know, my wife is sick. My husband is sick. I'm not coming in. I need to be home with them, or they're having surgery. I need to be with them, or they're undergoing cancer treatment, whatever it might be. If there are legitimate reasons, it's usually with enough time that you can cover the shift. They just don't have the people to cover the shift, despite Keolis's assertions that they do. And then the more pressing question is, you know, why were there people that were left with no option whatsoever? You know, why were you unable to at least get buses to those people instead of stranding them in Boston? And when you do have buses, why is it taking 4 hours for people to get home? So I hope that everybody understands that Senator Montigny is all over this. As the person who championed South Coast Rail for so long, he is all over this in getting the answers because he wants this to work. And I think he knows that the public perception of the rail was already shaky at launch. Because you still had people that said, you know, it's not going to happen a week before it happened. You still got people who are, you know, complaining that they would never use it. Okay, fine. But there are hundreds of people who are using it every day. If you go down to, I went by the Church Street station on Saturday. And there were probably two or three dozen cars in the lot at noontime on Saturday, 11 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. That's people who probably got on the train and said, we're going to go up to Boston for the day. And then, if you go by the Whale's Tooth, you know, even, well, maybe not now, but in an hour or two, you're going to see a ton of cars over there. So there are definitely people who are utilizing this service. But the perception of the service is suffering greatly from these inadequacies on the part of Keolis. And I think that's something that is important to note. This isn't a South Coast Rail issue. This is an operator of the rail issue. And as some callers have mentioned, this is not uncommon. This happens on commuter rail lines frequently. Maybe not in the volume that it's happened in such a concentrated time as it has with this. But this is an issue with Keolis being able to staff those commuter rail lines and overcoming some of these voids of employees, voids of available employees. And these are all things that are going to be in consideration as Keolis is looking to get a new contract. But I think that there's a lot of concern on the part, certainly of Senator Montigny, but others, that every single one of those canceled trips is just another hit to the reputation and the chance that someone will utilize South Coast Rail. And I was thinking about it, you know, the other day. I said, well, what am I doing on Sunday? Maybe I'll jump on the train and go up to Boston and go to a different restaurant I've never been to before and then come home. You know, just something to do for the day. I ended up having work I did at home that took longer than I thought, so I didn't do anything. But I figured take advantage of the free weekends while they're still going on. But what would have happened if I got stranded up there? Or what would have happened if I tried to come home at 7 o'clock and, you know, realized that I couldn't, had to take a bus, although the service was fine, I guess, this past weekend. I think the last couple of weekends have been issue-free, but I don't know that for certain. I'd have to go back and check the dates of what were good, but it seems like they're starting to get this turned around. And as I was saying, you know, by next month, they're going to have more qualified people, because that's the thing. They can't just pull somebody from another route and say, I know you usually do the, you know, Lakeville route for South Coast Rail, but for commuter rail. But today we need you to do the New Bedford Fall River line. They can't just throw somebody in there. They have to be federally qualified for that line. So I guess, you know, having more people will solve the issue, but what is the underlying cause of why they're having these shortages anyway? Is it a form of protest from the employees? Is it just a rash of coincidences? Is it poor scheduling management? But it's certainly hurting the viability of the rail to people and their minds. You know, I don't think that that Boston calling is a good idea to take the commuter rail just because of the timing of trying to get back, unless you're going to leave early. Like, if you're not staying for all the headline acts, then that's a different story. But if you're planning on staying till the end, you know, you might be cutting it close. But what happens if you get stranded up there? What happens if you get to South Station at 11:50 for the 11:57 train and you find out there isn't one? You're going to get on a bus that takes you till 2 or 3 in the morning to get home? Maybe not as long, you know, that late at night, but still. It's not inspiring confidence in the casual user. People who use it every day, on the weekdays, you know, they're just running into delays. They're not running into cancellations. And although that's frustrating, that's also kind of expected. You know, instances of the train running 15, 20 minutes behind are not uncommon. Because it has to do with, you know, what traffic do they hit? How many people do they have to wait to get on and off? And when I say traffic, I mean, you know, going through the, you know, the busy areas where multiple trains are coming in. They've got to wait their turn to come in, those kind of things. Not that they're on the highway. So there's a lot of factors that go into play, but, you know, that's also, it's part of what's expected when commuting by rail in the morning on a work day, on a weekday. But you'd think you'd be able to get home okay on a Sunday night. 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here. We will be right back.
Some illegals may soon start self-deporting. The papal conclave begins tomorrow, and President Trump posting tariffs on movies made outside of America.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump calling for 100% tariff on films produced outside of America and imported into the States. Trump made those comments on Truth Social Media on Sunday to announce that he had instructed the Department of Commerce and the U.S. Trade Representative to immediately begin the process of instituting the tariffs. He cited nonspecific national security threats and said, quote, "We want movies made in America again." A possible security breach being investigated by a communications app seen being used by former National Security Advisor Mike Waltz. The company that owns Telemessage said it acted quickly and suspended all services. Waltz appeared to be seen using the app in a picture last week during a cabinet meeting. Catholic cardinals are preparing to select a new pope this week. Once the conclave begins tomorrow, the 133 cardinals taking part in the election will remain behind closed doors in the Sistine Chapel until a candidate for pope receives 2/3 majority vote. Conclaves historically last about 4 days. The Trump administration is offering $1,000 to illegal immigrants if they self-deport using a government app. President Trump addressed the program yesterday while speaking at the White House.
What we thought we'd do is a self-deport, where we're going to pay each one a certain amount of money, and we're going to get them a beautiful flight back to where they came from.
The Department of Homeland Security said the payments will be made after their return has been confirmed. The app's webpage estimates that once approved, undocumented migrants would typically depart the U.S. within 3 weeks. Those who submit their intent to voluntarily self-deport will also be deprioritized for detention and removal ahead of their departure. A coalition of attorneys general suing the Trump administration over cuts to the Department of Health and Human Services. The coalition includes attorneys general in 19 states and the District of Columbia who are seeking to stop restructuring overseen by Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. They argue the effort has gutted the agency with the elimination of 10,000 employees and the closure of half of regional offices, causing significant harm for the plaintiff states. Many air traffic controllers in Philadelphia who control the airspace at Newark Liberty International Airport are apparently out on approved trauma leave. Their union, the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, says those federal workers did not walk off the job, but their absence is wreaking havoc in Newark.
I was delayed getting in here on United, and I'm getting delayed getting out of here on JetBlue.
The union says that the air traffic controllers suffered a nightmarish experience on April 28th, in which they had no eyes or ears on planes for about 90 seconds, the result of which a radar and communications blackout was caused by a fried copper wire. There have been 400 flight cancellations and 2,000 delays at Newark since Friday. Jury selection in the Sean Diddy Combs sex trafficking trial continues today in Manhattan.
The judge provided a brief description of the charges the 55-year-old music mogul is facing, including prostitution, racketeering, and coercing women into videotape sex performances he called freak-offs. The Harlem-born rapper says he's innocent and claims any group sex was consensual. Several jurors were dismissed who said they'd seen video of Combs beating up his former girlfriend, Cassie Ventura, who's expected to testify. If convicted, Combs could face life behind bars. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
Wall Street closed lower yesterday to start the new week. Kristen Marks has the details.
Stocks finished in the red as investors await developments on potential tariff deals between the U.S. and other countries. The S&P 500 snapped a nine-day winning streak with the Federal Reserve set to begin a two-day policy meeting tomorrow. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 98 points. The S&P 500 fell 36 points. The NASDAQ lost 133 points.
The number of Americans who say stocks or mutual funds are the best long-term investment is declining.
According to a Gallup survey, 16% of adults say stocks or mutual funds are the best long-term investment, compared to 22% of people who held this view around the same time last year. The poll was conducted in the first 2 weeks of April when President Trump announced sweeping tariffs that sent the stock market on a nosedive. Despite the drop in favorability, the survey found gold had a slight uptick in popularity this year, with 23% saying it's the best long-term investment, which is up from 18% last April. I'm Brian Shook.
WBSM Sports.
The Knicks took game one over the Seas in overtime last night, 108-105. Game two is at the Garden tomorrow night, and the Red Sox host the Rangers tonight at Fenway at 6:45.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Waking up to dense patchy fog in spots on this Tuesday morning, so take it easy as you're heading out on the roads as visibility could be low at times. Now, as we move throughout the morning, we're also looking at some scattered showers here across the South Coast. And then after a little break in the afternoon, temperatures today along the coast around 60 degrees as you head a little further inland, we get up into the mid-60s in the afternoon. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
They don't write them like that anymore either. Of course, we used to joke about the song and be like, they don't write them like that anymore. But no, it is a good song. Greg Kinn Band had a couple of hits. They had that. They had Our Love's in Jeopardy, which was the most easy tee up of a Weird Al parody ever when he turned it into I Lost on Jeopardy. That man is a genius. He's a national treasure. Weird Al Yankovic. So 508-996-0500. And we will go through some of the questions that were asked of Philip Eng about South Coast Rail. But before we get into that, I want to point you to a story I have at WBSM.com and the WBSM app this morning. It's one of those nice stories that, you know, if you need a little good news in your day, this is one to read, one to share around. There's an employee at the Wareham Aubuchon Hardware Store. I guess it's Aubuchon. I should say Aubuchon. I've always said Aubuchon my whole life, but it's Aubuchon. The Wareham Aubuchon Hardware has one employee that they never let clock out. They never get to go home because the store is their home. It's the store's cat, Cinder. And I found it very interesting that the store has a store cat. But I found it even more interesting to find out that all the Aubuchon Hardwares have a store cat. Apparently, a couple of years ago, they had an issue where one of their distributors sent some bird seed to all of the Aubuchon stores. You know, the same distributor sending the same brand of bird seed to all these stores. And apparently at the warehouse or somewhere along the way, mice had gotten into the bird seed. So all of the Aubuchon hardware stores ended up with mice as a result of it. So what they did was, you know, not only did they call pest control, but they all got store cats. And from what one of the employees was telling me, some of the stores have more than one cat. They have two or three cats in the store. And Aubuchon had one named Lewis. Aubuchon and Wareham had one named Lewis, who recently retired. Because I said that. I said, well, you got this new cat, Cinder. You know, what happened to the old cat? Is it okay? Is it, you know, I don't want to bring up anything traumatic. I'm like, no, Lewis retired. I guess, you know, the employee, the manager that had taken care of him when he retired, he took the cat too. So the cat retired with the assistant store manager. Well, that's good. But they, you know, they thought they would get by without a cat, and then they started to miss having a cat. So they went out and adopted Cinder from Forever Paws. And if you read the story, there's some really great stuff from Ariana Silva, the director of Forever Paws, about what, you know, the kind of cat that it takes to be a store cat as opposed to going to somebody's house. And the more I read about, you know, the more I was writing about her comments, the more I was thinking to myself, this sounds like my cat. My cat sounds like he should be a store cat. Because when he's done with you, he's done with you. But you can see photos of Cinder. You can see the sign that they put outside the store to warn people driving through the parking lot that the cat who goes outside and has free rein may be walking around the parking lot. So just one of those, and you know, it's one of those stories where the cat certainly brings a lot of attention into the store. People come by just to see the cat, even without buying anything. But as one of the employees told me, the cat also lifts morale around the store as well and makes it seem like, you know, not every day is mundane. And I was thinking about this when I was reading the comments from Ariana. She said, you know, there are some pets that aren't a good fit for a residential home and that they are sometimes a better fit for a business. So I wonder how many more businesses out there could get a store cat. You know, back in the day when people had barns, they would have a barn cat, a cat that didn't necessarily come into the house because it was almost like, you know, if it was more feral, it was better because they'd be better at chasing mice and other vermin. You know, you bring the cat into the house, the cat becomes more docile, becomes, you know, less of a hunter. And then gets to be like my cat where, you know, acts like a tough guy, but then the minute there's a noise outside, comes and runs into my lap like something's going to get him. But you can check out that story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app about Cinder the store cat at Aubuchon Hardware in Wareham. And just as I know you need to read something like that every once in a while, I need to write something like that every once in a while. You know, you write about shootings and fires and arrests and all that, and you just say, isn't there any good news out there to share? And there's an example. And we always want to share those kinds of stories. So if you ever have any, you can reach out to me, Tim at WBSM.com. You know, that's the stuff that we love to report on. The good community stories. The stuff that's going on here on the South Coast. That's why we have the stories that we have on the website and on the app. It's not just about bringing you hard news. It's about telling you things that are interesting. Like, for example, we have a story today that you can read from Michael Rock about New Beige is opening a second location in the Sea Streak Terminal. Which is going to be a big deal for people who are, you know, taking the ferry. Now they don't have to walk up the street, especially now that the parking lot is being moved. They're not going to be parking at the Whale's Tooth anymore. They'll be parking at the Foss Marine Terminal. So then, you know, you don't have to deviate off your path to go up. It was different when you were coming from the Whale's Tooth and you were walking toward the pier. You could, you know, you could stop at the Marisol's that's open. Not open yet, but that will open up on Pier 3. So you could stop and get something there. It was on your way. You didn't have to deviate off your path. Now you would have had to, you know, from the Foss Marine Terminal, you'd have to go up. And not too far to go to New Beige, but still. But now that they're going to have this second location, it's going to make things even easier. Grab and go stuff, coffees, everything that you can need while you're waiting for your ferry or coming off the ferry or wherever it may be. 508-996-0500. Let me take my next break here, and we'll be back in a few moments.
Picking up prisoners and putting them in a pen, and all she wants to do is dance, dance.
Well, they're not just picking up prisoners and putting them in pens. They're picking up undocumented immigrants as well, but now they're offering them $1,000 to self-deport. And we can certainly get into that and hear what you think about it, but just to give you information before you react to that, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, well, look at all the things we've been giving these undocumented immigrants already. They've already gotten tens of thousands of dollars. Now we're going to give them $1,000 in plane tickets to self-deport. According to Homeland Security, the average cost of picking up an undocumented immigrant and doing whatever they need to do to deport them, whether it's incarceration or just putting them on a plane or whatever, you know, like they've been doing around New Bedford and other places, the average cost per person is $17,000. So $1,000 is saving you money. But I don't know that $1,000 in plane tickets is worth it to somebody. If they want to stay here, they'd probably sooner take the risk. But anyway, we can talk more about that. Or whatever else is on your mind, I will go through these questions in the next hour that were asked of Philip Eng from the MBTA regarding South Coast Rail, and we'll get into some of the responses that were given. But just looking at some of the reasons why trains were canceled, you know, we're talking, you know, as I mentioned before, the trespasser on the tracks, which we heard was someone committing suicide. But then things like slippery rail, and a problem with the engine, mechanical failure. So out of these lists of canceled trains, you know, only about a quarter of them were, maybe even less, were insufficient staffing. And then when you look at why they were late, it's things like switch failure, broken gate, slippery rail, engineer error, which I don't know if that's just that they weren't closing the doors fast enough or what. I don't know. But issues with doors and traps, more trespasser on tracks, missing report, signal system issue. You know, these are going beyond just what we were told, which was insufficient staffing. Again, trespasser on tracks. But issues with the crossing warning system. Equipment shortage. Did they not have enough trains? Unruly passenger. That caused one train to be late. So, you know, some of these things are just the nature of traveling by rail. But we can talk more about that, 508-996-0500. I've got one more break to take before the end of the hour. All right, we're going to be going into the news in just a moment. When we come back on the other side, we'll talk more about the South Coast rail issues. We'll get the answers that the MBTA provided to Senator Montigny and his committee, and we'll take your call.